May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you get the One Thing devotional and you've read it, then you'll know kind of what we're going to talk about. In the scriptures that Deacon Ron read, he read one from Luke chapter 6, verse 12, where it just spoke of the fact that Jesus spent all night in prayer. And if you read through the Gospel of Luke particularly, just over and over again, it talks about how Jesus would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. He'd spend all night in prayer often. And I know how hard it is for people to pray and how little people pray, and yet Christ prayed so much. And one of the questions I asked myself was, well, what did he talk about? I know that John 8 says that he was taught by the Father, but what does that mean? What did Jesus and the Father talk about all night long? And that passage in John 3 that we've looked at CTK kind of goes with John 3:32 and 31:32. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth, it speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. For what he has seen and heard, he bears witness. But in the passage from John 3 that Ron read, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." And so he uses the term "we" three times, and then "our witness." And what we've said in the last couple of weeks, I believe that he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Everything he did in union with the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit, driven by the love of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit because he lived on earth as a man, as a Spirit-filled man. So when I think about that, there was a couple of other passages at one point when Paul's given testimony about his ministry, he told the king, he said, "I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." And then in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, all of us are partakers of a heavenly calling. And then I think about in Revelation chapter 4, when John, this old man, 93-year-old man, the Lord says, there was a door, he said there was a door opened up in heaven. And the Lord said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place in the midst of these things." And the midst of these things was this fallen chaos of a fallen world in disarray at its worst place, because he's showing him things towards the end times. So when humanity's at its worst, at its most rebellious, he says, in the midst of all this, I'm going to show you what must take place. Scripture talks about the fact that we're co-laborers with God in 1 Corinthians. And here's what I realize, what I believe with all my heart, is that all of us are called. Here's one of the great privileges that we're called to do, and that is to dream with God. In the devotional, I said, don't be afraid or feel bad that you seem to dream ridiculously big dreams, because God dreams really big. And you see, in the midst of a fallen world, I believe that the conversation and the discussion that Jesus had with the Father, with the Holy Spirit there, because he said, what we've seen, that we bear witness of, I believe what happened was is that with the Father, Jesus was reimagining the world. And that term just sinks deep, like hooks me real deep in my heart, that with the Father, together, they reimagined the world. What do I mean by that? In the midst of this chaos, let me show you what must take place. When Jesus announced that the kingdom of heaven is here, he was decreeing a recreation of the world that had fallen, an undoing of what the enemy had done. Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And I believe that Jesus in prayer, in union with the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with his Father, he and the Father together reimagined the world. Whole, restored. And I believe, therefore, that when he went out every day, having together with the Father reimagined the world, in the power of the Holy Spirit and driven by the love of the Holy Spirit, he went and recreated the world, one person at a time, one situation at a time. Now hear me. I don't want this to sound like some big fancy word. That's what he's invited you to do in prayer. There's a lot of cool things that happen in prayer. But the most important thing is, Paul said he was driven by, governed by, and was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We're partakers of a heavenly calling. We've been sent as Jesus was sent. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. To do what? To recreate the world. To bring the world in line with the kingdom of God. And what he invites us to do in prayer more than anything else is to dream with him. To reimagine the world with him. We just had a friend, a dear friend who died of cancer, who was believing God to the last minute that God was going to heal. That's not the first friend I've had who's like that. And therefore, is the answer to him, to his family, your husband, your father, your friend, missed it? He shouldn't have done that. He was wrong to do that. Absolutely not. When I went to go see him about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I said, Jonathan, I didn't come here to comfort you. I came here to stand with you and contend for your healing, because I believe cancer is of the devil. It's a result of the fall. Now, while we haven't come to a breakthrough yet, but we're seeing everybody get healed, I don't know. But I'm not going to stop at ankle-deep water where we see some people get healed and build a theology around that. Right? He promised us a river to swim in. And so I find myself, you know, anytime you have a friend, that sense of separation, because we weren't created for that. We're not wired for that. Death is not something we're wired for. It's the result of the fall. But we know that in Christ there's victory, and so you get torn between this grieving, celebrating. But I found myself this morning reimagining the world, dreaming with the Father, that every person gets healed of cancer. And then in the power of the Spirit and the love of Christ, go out and try to recreate the world. Go after that. And if one doesn't get healed, what happens next? Until we see the breakthrough, until the church comes to that place, until the church rises up to the place where we have the mind of Christ. See, Jesus lived with the mind of the Father. In prayer, they reimagined the world together. What about your world? How about just the world you live in, the people in your world? Do you do that with the Lord? Do you sit with God and dream with him? Do you reimagine your world with him? And then out of that place of prayer, go, and by the power of the Spirit, controlled by the love of Christ, recreate your world? Or do you reinforce the fallenness and the chaos? Every one of you are called to recreate the world. Every one of us. We've been sent. We were not sent just to have sympathy. You've heard people say, teachers, sympathy just feels sorry for people. Compassion changes their condition. And Jesus often was driven by compassion. It just struck me. I just love that thing about what is prayer. What is the best part of prayer? I mean, fellowship, right? But the coolest part of prayer is to just be alone with the Lord and together with him reimagine the world. Get the mind of the Father, who's good. And at the end of creation, after 6 days, we saw this yesterday, he decreed very good. That you and I get to, in partnership with the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, go restore the very good to a fallen world and fallen people. Isn't that awesome? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.